When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word Daily. Australia versus South Africa, Boxing Day Test Day 4, and also the final day of this test match. And for this series, at least in terms of its relevance. And Jeff Lemon is going to tell us in 30 seconds how it all played out.
It played out as predictably as we might have expected. South Africa resumed the day 371 runs behind. They were all out by just about tea time for 204. Yeah, they got through the first 10 overs without losing a wicket, but Cyril Ervia gets out for 21, his optimum sort of score, hit on the toe by Mitchell Starc. Tiernis de Bruin edges one into the cordon as he'd been threatening to do all day, and it kind of fell apart from there. Themba Bavuma did his best, made 65, looks good on the scorecard, also ran out two of his partners in probably the two better batting partnerships of the entire innings, so it wasn't quite what the scorecard suggested. The rest fell away pretty quickly. There was some bashing from the last wicket partnership they put on 27 to get South Africa past 200. Cheers! Because otherwise it would have been eight innings in a row of under 200. Still, all out 204. Australia win by an innings and 182.
Brilliantly done, Jeffrey. I need to learn how to be succinct like you were with the 30-second summary, not extended to a minute. But look, for me, what summed it all up, the series up, this rather one-sided series up, is when South Africa got to 200, the camera panned to some South African fans. I don't know where they found them. Somewhere around the MCG, and they were holding up this little South African flag. And there was, it felt like a celebration because it was. I mean, at least South Africa have something to hang their, I don't even know whether they can hang their hat on it, but something, maybe, I don't know, whatever it is.
Their shopping bags.
Their shopping bag on. There you go. The keys on, maybe. Yeah, that's the best I can come up
with. You know, when you've got like the green bag that you try to remember to take it to the supermarket because you don't want to get plastic bags, but then you always forget. And so you hang it up on the handle of the door so that you think you'll remember when you leave the house. And then even so, you still never remember to take it like that.
Yeah, or in India, we actually used to hang a bag outside the door so that the milkman would leave the packet of milk. For all of you watching this in India, you know what I'm talking about. We're listening to India as well. But look, I'm going to stick my neck out and say this is the worst performing South African team to ever come to these shows, at least since readmission in 1992. We've seen South African teams compete. They've lost before, but not to forget that they won the last three series here. Now, India have a chance to do that when they come here in 2024. But for them to lose that streak in this fashion, it's almost like The Undertaker losing to Brock Lesnar in 20 seconds when, you know, he finally lost the WrestleMania streak. It was really, really disappointing. And if anything, they made the West Indians look much better than they were.
Bring the West Indies back to play the Sydney Test. I mean, you go deep into the history, you look at the 1880s South African teams, the 1912 triangular tournament, the 1930s. There are some really bad teams there because it's a very amateurish era. And there are teams getting bowled out for 50 and 60 and teams losing. You know, that was the only other two-day test in Australia. But this South African team is playing like those South African teams, despite being a professional outfit and despite having such a good bowling attack. I mean, we've talked so much about how impressive Nokia has been. You know, we've seen how classy Rabada has been across his career, and then Marco Jansen coming in and being the revelatory performer that he has over the last 12 months. But you can have the best bowlers in the world, but if you don't give them anything to work with, and I think those bowlers would have, once South Africa came out and got bowled out for 189 on day one, the bowlers would have just been deflated. They would have gone, oh, come on, you know, we have to do this again. Like, just give us something. Give us some help here.
I'm telling you, the day is not too far before the South African bowlers just go on strike. You know, South Africa, they get bowled out again for 150. Maybe it'll happen in Sydney, who knows. And then the South African bowlers just don't come out. And the camera pans to the dressing room and you have Rabada and Nokia sitting there saying, we are on strike. We're not going to come and defend this. Not anymore. We are done. And who can blame them? But, you know, on a serious note, you didn't laugh, so I guess it wasn't funny.
I don't have to laugh at all of your jokes.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. You know, I'm a little needy at times.
I don't want you to think it's too easy, you know? I don't want you to get complacent. Right? Like, you got to put a bit of work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jeff Lemon, tough love. But even some of the strategies, you think about it, you have a struggling batting group, right? A team that hasn't made 200 as a unit 6 times in a row. And the captain, Dean Elgar, keeps talking about, no, but I don't want to move away from having, I need 5 bowlers. You need 5 bowlers, yes, but just logically thinking, you're putting so much pressure on an already underperforming group, a batting group, and instead of bringing in another batter, or at least adding to that batting mix, so that you strengthen your weak points.
If you've got a batter who's not good enough to get into a team that's this bad, is adding them going to help?
That's a good point. But you do have someone like a Hendrik Claassen, who just made 292, a few weeks ago in domestic cricket in South Africa. But whatever it is, I mean, if the problem is in anything in life, if you can identify the problem, and the problem is clearly the batting, wouldn't it make more sense to shore it up and bank, like they would say, oh, if you have 6 batters, why do you need a 7th batter to bail you out? Similarly, if you have 4 world-class bowlers, do you need a 5th world-class bowler? I mean, you do if you only keep scoring 150. But there have been so many mistakes along the line. Some of the runouts have been extraordinary. Manas Labuschagne on day one, the direct hit. But Dean Elgar literally ran him out. Ran himself out. We spoke about it. And Bauma, again, it's unprofessional cricket. I mean, the Zondo runout, whoever's mistake it was, maybe Bauma had called him. But the lack of effort from Zondo, he fell by quite a distance, right? He wasn't even in the frame, and Travis had he had to do was underhand the ball onto the stumps. But there was no dive, there's no stretch, there's nothing. And you're talking about a cricketer who's in his 30s, who's waited a long time to play Test cricket. Oh, where's the fire? Where's the desire?
Well, I just thought that Zondo knew that he was gone if the throw would hit. You know, he'd pretty much given up before he got there, because he responded to the call. Bavuma drops it straight to cover and just goes with the shot. There wasn't a run on, and Zondo was respectful, I thought, in honouring the call, and you know, by the time he was halfway down, knew that he didn't have much of a chance. So I wouldn't be as hard on him as that. But it was just predictable. You know, as soon as Sara Lervia got to about 21, I thought, well, he'll get out soon, because that's what he does. He makes 20 and gets out. Gets a good ball, gets bashed on the toe by Mitchell Starc. The umpire says not out, says it was bat first. They review it. It wasn't bat first. Brilliant bit of bowling from Starc, who's got that busted finger, the bowling finger on his left hand, and yet he was still able to bowl. He bowled more overs than anyone, bowled 18 overs in the innings, produced that brilliant run out as well to get rid of Maharaj later in the innings. And then you've got De Bruyne, who, I mean, he edged the ball in front of slip, over slip, next to slip, through slip, and eventually the one he gets from Scott Boland is a beauty. It's on a slightly fuller length, but it really kicks up at the gloves. It gets that bounce. Boland manages to get that bounce from a full length and takes his gloves into the cord, and catch 150 for Steve Smith. He's still flying along in terms of the test catches list. There's 13 players ahead of him on the list of test match catches, but I mean, De Bruyne was always going to get caught in the cordon. He's the guy they're asking to bat at 3. Then Zondo gets roasted. They're 65 for 4 before lunch. And then there was a nice partnership between Kyle Vareno, who's one of the few to enhance his reputation on this tour, and Bavuma. So this was a point. I had some admiration for Bavuma, the way he responded to the run out, because he could have gone into his shell. Instead, he kept attacking the bowling, like not recklessly, but he kept punching it through the covers. He gets Verena coming in, who starts playing reverse sweeps and plays that great pull shot off Mitchell Starc, rocks back and smashes it out through deep mid-wicket. They go on past the lunch break. You know, they put on 60-odd. And, you know, there was something at least to watch for a South African fan.
Yeah, but you know the story of the series. Collapse, partnership, collapse. Yeah. That's literally been South Africa throughout, across all four innings.
The collapse sandwich.
The collapse sandwich. Yeah, except at the GABA where it was just collapse, collapse, collapse. There was nothing in between, just two slices of bread.
Collapse, collapse, collapse.
There you go. Some, I don't know, is that a famous song that I should know?
Sure.
Because every time I say something, Jeff starts singing a song which I don't identify or recognize, and I sing some other song that he doesn't recognize or identify, but we'll stick to the point. At the GABA, 4 for 27, partnership, and they lose 6 for 27. And once you knew, and even when the Bauma-Verena partnership was going on, you knew all Australia needed, and even Australia would know, that to break that one partnership. And then you knew they would fold, and that's what happened. Maharaj showed a lot more gumption than he has so far in the series. His batting has been a disappointment. I know he's a bowler, but for a senior batter to be getting out the way he has been before today kind of really puts this South African performance even further into perspective. He's shown no fight, but he did show some fight alongside Bauma, and then the second run out happened, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, but
Hall of Fame, I think we'll come to that second run out, because it's Boland again who gets Verena, and again it's that Scott Boland. His other signature, I think, is the one that jags in and hits you on the knee roll in front of middle. He's so good at using this MCG pitch, so two wickets for him in that second innings. Not quite 6 for 7, but contributed and got two important wickets, you know, and then it falls away, and there's and after the second run out, that's when Bauma doesn't respond well. Then the next over, he just has a big swipe at Nathan Lyon. I thought at that point Bauma's given up after fighting really hard for a few hours before that. But what is going on? Like, why is this South African team so bad at the moment?
I think I've been breaking my head about it as well. It has to be something with their first-class cricket where... And remember, England used to be like that when the pitches were maybe very green and too sporting for their domestic cricket. Often, in county cricket, 70 was a match-winning score. You get to 70 and it's job done. You make sure your team gets to 250-odd. That's a match-winning score. Doesn't work in Australia. We saw it last year when England were here as well. Now, of course, they play a different brand of cricket. De Bruyne is a great example. I thought he batted much, much better in this innings than in the first innings. He left the ball really well, but he gets to that 40-45 ball mark and then goes from being a number 3 to a number 6, where he starts flashing at everything. When you have, 6 sessions to bat out, and if this was happening somewhere late on day 5 or the middle of day 5, I'll understand. You have 6 sessions to go. You've done all the right things. You've kind of seen off the new ball, seen off the first spells from the seamers. And then you start flashing at everything. I mean, he could have been caught, like you said, either at first slip, second slip, third slip, gully, on so many occasions. He was dropped by Warner late last evening. And then eventually he does get knocked over by Scott Boland. That catch from Steve Smith with Manus diving right across him. But that really just summed up the issues with South Africa's batting. We saw it in the first innings. Once they get to 50, they play injudicious shots and get out. I think it's the lack of hunger, where in these conditions, you have to, if you get your eye in, you have to go big, like Craig Brathwaite did, you know, for a brief while, or even Tej Narayan Chanderpaul did when West Indies were here,
or like David Warner did. You watch the model, which is not that Warner came out and smashed the bowling everywhere. He spent a lot of time not doing that. He just collected runs and went about that business methodically and quietly for most of the innings. Yeah, well, look, they've got players like you're talking about, Klaassen. I mean, Verena made a big score in first-class cricket just recently. They have players who are doing well enough in their domestic first-class cricket to get picked. I mean, someone like Ervia has a good first-class record. You know, most of the players they're picking have good first-class records, but it's not translating at test levels, so that's not something they can fix between now and Sydney. I mean, do they have any hope of trying to get something out of this tour? Do you bring Klaassen in? I mean, Ngidi's been very indifferent with the ball. He's not impressed me at all with his bowling the last couple of tests. Are you losing much if you leave him out and bring in Klaassen as the extra bat?
And Dean Elgar was slightly snappy with me when I asked him that question. That was my second question to him in the press conference. I said, so going forward, because he spoke so much about pride and how South Africa need to get that South African pride back in Sydney, do they make a fresh start, bring in guys from the squad who haven't played so far, like a Klaassen or a Kutsia or even a Lizard Williams. And he's basically said, oh, you're asking me stuff, that questions that I haven't started thinking about. I said, good, I should be. Like, yeah, it was kind of a weird answer.
Yeah, I don't want to ask you questions that you already know all the answers to.
Absolutely. That's my job as a journalist, to ask you the right questions, but that you haven't thought of. But I mean, then later on he said, yeah, maybe that does make sense. Maybe we'll have to go down that road. I don't see them. I saw Kutsia bowl to Klaassen this morning in the nets. And at that point, I thought, yeah, that they have to come in. There's no point sticking to the same 11. I don't see them playing the same bowling attack. Lunga Ingiri, one good spell from him last evening. That's the best we've seen of him all series. But, I mean, his 19 did get South Africa to 200. Just for that, maybe he deserves a place in this side. He was smashing Nathan Lyon all over the shop before the very end. I don't know where South Africa can go from here. I mean, they've blown away their whatever little chance they had of making the World Test Championship final. But that whole thing, the whole narrative leading into this series, like West Indies was supposed to be the weak spot of the Test summer. And it was all about, West Indies are gone now. This is the big heavyweight battle clash between one and two. That narrative was just sunk, I mean, completely. So, we'll go to Sydney, we'll see. I'm sure Australia will already start thinking about the Indian tour. Pat Cummins said that as well. It's sort of the best setup, right? Sydney, so far this summer, the pitches have been dry. There has been turn. So maybe for a change, we might get two spinners. And Australia have two big decisions to make as well. No Stark, no Green, we know. So who do they bring in place of them? And I think that those will be the discussions moving forward. From a South African perspective, hopefully they get to 200 again.
Maybe they could get to 220, really, really start to milk things. Now, the final word, Hall of Fame, this is when we select the moment of the day that feels the most final word in terms of vibes, Woodstock Cricket brings you this. They make the best bats in the world, 20% off one with the code TFW20. At woodstockcricket.co.uk. Easily done. There's only one candidate for me. I mean, we've talked about running out two of your partners during an innings. We've talked about the fact that the second one is the one that made Bavuma then give up and get himself out. And fair enough at that stage. We haven't talked about the manner in which it happened. Keshav Maharaj batting quite nicely. He's, he'd made, 14, I think. Drives a ball out to deep cover. Comfortable three, really. Takes the first, takes the second, turns for the third, starts coming back. Bavuma, as he's running back to the non-striker's end for the second, first of all, he looks up at the big screen and he's watching the fielding happening on the big screen to find out where the ball is, which is probably not an ideal way to go about it. Then he touches down and he's looking at deep cover and he starts walking backwards towards his batting partner. Not turning around to run back, but trotting backwards. Then he just stops completely and watches deep cover. Then he turns around and realizes Maharaj is just about standing next to him. And then at that point he says, oh no, I'm going to go back to the non-striker's end, even though I'm the one facing the striker's end and it will be faster for me to run there. I'm going to make you turn around and run there. The throw comes in from the deep to Mitchell Stark at the non-striker's end. Brilliant bit of fielding. Grabs it, throws down the stumps. Bullet throw, direct. If it had bounced in, I reckon Maharaj would have made it because his bat was just on the line. So he still nearly made it back. But just a truly bizarre run out from Bavuma. I don't think I've ever seen one like it. I've never seen somebody do runs in reverse.
Or for that matter, generally a run out happens and they say, oh, he was ball watching. I've never heard anyone be guilty of big screen watching, because that's what he was doing. He was watching the ball, but not where it had gone. He was watching the ball on the big screen. And you guys have to see the replay where he's running. And he actually, to start with, looks at Manas and where he is in terms of the ball and where the boundary is. And then he looks up. And I think that's where he kind of loses his balance in terms of what's happening in the middle. And poor Keshav Maharaj has no idea, because it's an obvious three, like you said. And even at that point, if Bavuma hadn't stopped and had run, he would have easily made it, especially because the throw didn't go to the keeper's end. It came to Mitchell Stark, who was somewhere halfway down the pitch at that point. That was a complete stuff up, as they call it in Australia. Stuff up? That's an idea.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, thank you. I just want
a dog's breakfast, mate. That was a dog's breakfast.
He barbecued him, mate. Yeah, so
torched him. Torched his mate.
Yeah, he just torched his mate. How dare you do that? But yeah, I mean, that's really has to be the Hall of Fame. But just a little entry about the Steve Smith catch as well. I mean, you know, I spent hours of my life watching Steve Smith and Marnus together and their interesting and fun relationship in training. But that catch, I think a lot of people thought another ball has just gone through the slip cordon where De Bruyne has got another life. Because Steve Smith catches the ball, it's a very straightforward catch. Good catch.
Yeah, but Marnus is diving across him.
Exactly. And by straightforward, I'm not saying it's a simple catch. But the outcome is very straightforward. It's clasped beautifully in Steve Smith's hand. But he throws his head back. So I think a lot of commentators at that point were looking at towards third man saying, another one's got away. Purely based on Steve Smith's reaction. But the reaction had nothing to do with the catch or the wicket. It had to do with his old mate Marnus jumping all right in front of him. And Jonty Rhodes said something in the SEN box at that point. He's like, this is why they never kept me at slip, because they were worried I would do what Marnus did right there. So I think it's just a little Hall of Fame nomination.
Yeah, and one for Mitchell Starc as well, for pulling up in his bowling stride and giving Tiernan De Bruyne a lecture about staying in his crease. It's not bloody hard to stay behind the line, right? You know, the line's there for a reason. And fair enough, too. I mean, you know, I wish he would just go through with it, just commit, just take the bails off. But, you know, he's doing the next best thing. He's letting people know that he's thinking about it.
Yeah, and he actually spoke about it in the press conference. Apparently, he was doing, De Bruyne was doing it last evening as well. And he said, to quote Mitchell Starc, he said, but today when I saw he was literally halfway down punt road, or halfway down to punt road. And the thing with Mitchell Starc is, I've heard him talk about it before, because of his action, he can always see from the corner of the eye where the non-striker is. But it's very difficult for him, once he gets into the load-up, to stop himself and do it. It's not possible. He'll injure himself. So if ever Mitchell Starc has to run someone out at the non-striker's end, he has to do it intentionally, where he runs in and he just takes the bails off like before he hits his delivery stride. So for most fast bowlers, a spinner is slightly easier when you can kind of stop and you can do it. But yeah, I'm surprised we didn't talk about it earlier.
All right, that's enough from us. The Final Word Daily. We'll be back for the Sydney Test match. Jeff Lemon, Bharat Sundaresan. In between times, Adam Collins and I will have the traditional Final Word New Year's show. That will be up at the end of the year. The best and worst of 2022 and all of the rest of our end of year festivities. Might be a sneaky story time, our history show in before the Sydney Test as well. Keep an eye on the podcast feed. That's the main place to find it. Keep watching. Keep finding some cricket around the world to entertain yourself. And if you want to help us keep making the show, patreon.com/thefinalword. That's enough from us from the MCG. Boxing Day test. It's all over. It's all over. See you next time.
100 times. Oh, no, it doesn't. I ain't breezing and I ain't George Benson. I ain't protected, brother. I ain't fenced in. If my future questions my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out of empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it, write it out. And